Last week we did not finish two verses, so let's go to the St. John chapter 21, starting from verse 24 and 25.
This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen.
St. John is saying, whatever is written in this book is true. He's saying we did not falsely written anything, like some other stories they write, and the wrong thing they write, and make it such a way that it is true story. Even the some newspapers and some articles we see, they make it such a way that it sounds so true. But the John saying, we did not do like this. We telling everything the truth. And St. John chapter 20, verse 30, please read.
And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book.
Now he says, many signs and many miracles Jesus did. Not in secret. He says, openly, in front of disciples and in front of many, many people. In today's world, we call there is a news called eyewitness news. So people see with their eyes, and then they know the truth. So the John is saying Jesus Christ did so many signs and wonders and miracles, and he did it openly. But John is saying he was not able to write everything, all the miracles. Book of Luke, elaborate a little bit more. Matthew also does the more. Mark and John, they were keeping everything in short. Book of Mark was the first book was written. Even this in order, we see Matthew and then Mark, but the Mark was written first and then Matthew and other books. So John is saying all these signs and wonders and miracles happen. We didn't record it everything. Why he's saying, let's read the verse 31. St. John chapter 20, verse 31.
But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name.
Now he says, why this book is written? This book is written that you should believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. This is was the reason why St. John was writing. He says, I'm writing this, so you should know who Jesus Christ is. St. John is saying, what I am writing, my point is, you should believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And if you believe him as the Son of God, then through his name, you will have salvation. Jesus means the Savior. So we have the Savior who can save the mankind. Book of Acts chapter 4 verse 12, he says, there is no other name given under heaven. You can search in every country or every nation. You will not find any Savior. Please read.
Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
What is that name? Jesus the Savior. Jesus Christ, when you say Christ, who died for you, he is the one anointed one. God appointed him to come and die for us, and he died. And Jesus, the only one, rose again. There is not a single leader in the world. They can say, my leader was dead, he's risen again. There are false stories written. Their leaders are risen. But they cannot prove it from their books or any other eyewitnesses. Our Bible is the only proof that Jesus Christ is alive and he is living God. And we have to believe him to get saved. Now there are so many people say, why should I believe in Jesus? I believe in God. I believe in God is the only God, and we don't need any other God. Our Bible teaches God is only one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, triune, one God. Then somebody says, what do you mean? The God is separate, the Son is separate, the Holy Spirit is separate. How can you say one? Because they are united in one. What God says, the Son says. What the Son says, the Holy Spirit says. They never fight with each other. When what God says, the Son agrees. What the Son says, the Holy Spirit agrees. What the Holy Spirit says, the Father agrees. That's why. And why triune God? Because God the Father loved the whole wide world and sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross of Calvary. Just think, there was only one Father. And the Father comes and dies on the cross. Then who was in heaven? Nobody will know what's going on the earth. So God the Father stays in heaven. God the Son comes for you and me and died on the cross of Calvary. And when the Word of God says in the book of Romans chapter 8, God the Father says, I will raise my Son again. And he gave him power to come back to life. And the Holy Spirit, why we need the Holy Spirit? Because Jesus Christ says, now I'm going to my Father and I will send you the Holy Spirit. Why? Because if I stay longer here, Holy Spirit will not come. The people start thinking, oh, Jesus is the Holy Spirit. If he goes, then only he can send the Holy Spirit. Why he was saying, now I'm in the physical body. They can get hold of me. And they did and killed him. Now he's saying, I'm going. So I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit is with you now, but that Holy Spirit will then within you. So they won't see the Holy Spirit, and you will have the power, and you can do the greater works than me. We read that in St. John chapter 14, verse 12. He says, whatever the miracle I did, you will do also, and you will do greater miracle than me. Many people do not believe it, but if Jesus Christ says, I am the truth and I am the life, and then Jesus Christ cannot lie. And whatever he said is true, because the more miracles are happening. Peter did the miracle. His shadow hit the people and people got healed. Jesus' shadow never healed anybody. And so that was a greater miracle. Jesus Christ never sent the handkerchief around the world, but the Paul did. And many people got healed and demons were cast out, just putting the handkerchief. So the point I'm making, people are saying, we don't need any God. We need only one God. Jewish people say, Hindu people cannot say, because Hindu people have 3 million gods. 33 million, not only 3, 33 million gods. So they cannot say, we have only one God. Muslim people say, we don't want a son, we want only God. But then what the Word of God is saying? St. John chapter 1, verse 18. He says, no one has seen God any time. Who revealed him? His Son. Please read.
No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him.
No one has seen God. Ask any other denomination or any other religion. Did anyone see God in your religion? And I want to see that person saying, okay, I saw God. And what is God like? Nobody knows. But Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He said, if you have seen me, you have seen my Father. And he revealed what Father is all about. The Word of God says, God is love. That love we see in Christ. He died for you and for me, because he loved you and me. The Word of God says, the friend will die for friend. But Jesus Christ died for the enemies. Who are the enemies? We were the enemies of God. We were enemy to God. We were sinner. And the Jesus Christ died for sinners. No one can do that. He was innocent. He was spotless. He never committed sin, but he died for you and for me. And so it is very important to know the Son of God which is Jesus Christ, he is the only one Savior. God sent him to save mankind, and God is not jealous that we say Jesus is the Savior, because he sent him to be your Savior and my Savior. And so he says, if you believe in him, then God loves you. God likes that. Go to the 1 John chapter 4 and verse 15.
Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God.
See, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and in God. Means you dwell in God and God dwells in you. When? When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So God says, I send my Son. So if you believe in my Son, then you will live in me and I will live in you. God says, when you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I do something. I send his Spirit in your spirit. Read the Galatians chapter 4, verse 6.
And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
Because you are son, how we became son? We received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. St. John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, as many as received him, who? Jesus Christ. To those people he gave the authority, power to be called the sons of God. And when we have become the sons of God, receiving Jesus Christ, then the Father says, now you received my Son. Now you are qualified to be sons. Now I'm going to send his Spirit. Whatever the Spirit Christ has, whatever the power he has, I'm going to put it in you. Why? He says, because when you receive the Spirit of Christ, you will be called sons of God. And you can call me Abba, Father. If you don't have a son in your life, you cannot call God Abba, Father. You can be Jewish or you can be Muslim. God does not recognize you without son. Son makes the connection with the Father. There was a big wall between man and God. The Word of God says, Ephesians chapter 2, he broke down the middle wall of partition by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why we are united with God, because of Jesus Christ. If there is no Son, there is no Father. You cannot see the Father without Son. That's why Jesus Christ came. We just read St. John chapter 1, verse 18. No man hath seen God any time. Somebody says, oh, Moses saw it and Abraham saw it and all of those people. But intimate relationship no one had with God the Father. Even the Adam could not see God fully. No one had seen. When the Word of God said no one had seen God any time, I have to believe it. Only Son, Jesus Christ, declared to us, showed us what the God is all about. So we need God the Father and God the Son. Without Son, we cannot understand the Father. Without the Father, we will not have a Son. Why? God so loved the world and he gave his only begotten Son. If there is no Father, no Son would come to this world. And when the Son came, he said, you know why? I did not come alone. My Father sent me. Whatever I'm doing, I'm not doing everything by my own. My Father tells me to do. Whatever I hear from my Father, that's what I'm telling you. And so there is a connection between Father and Son. Okay, let's go to the 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10.
He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son.
See what he's trying to say? He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. What does it mean? If you believe in God, and if you don't believe in his Son that he sent, then you said, God said, I love the whole world and I give my Son to die for you, and you don't believe it. What does it mean? Your God is a liar. He didn't send the Son. Son didn't come. Son didn't die. So we're making God a liar. But if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you're respecting God. You believe in God that He sent His Son to redeem mankind. That's why we have to believe the God's record. And when God said, I love the world and I gave my Son, I believe it. When you believe the testimony of God, God says, as soon as Jesus Christ took the baptism and He came out of the water, Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now see, when the Father testified about His Son, and if you don't believe, many people heard it, it's recorded in the Word of God, and people read it, and they said, I don't care what the Bible says. He said, well, if you don't, then you're making me liar. If you make the God liar, then who is the truth? There's no truth. The Word of God says God is truth, Son is truth, and the Holy Spirit is truth. We are worshiping the true God, not the false God. So they are all connected. We have to believe in Jesus Christ, then we have relationship with Father. Otherwise, we are making Father a liar, and we are miserable people. Let's go back to the 1 John chapter 5, and we are in there. Start reading from verse 11 to 13.
And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son.
Okay, what is the record? He said, this is the record that God has given Him His Son, and in His Son there is an eternal life. And this is the record. That's what God is saying. I gave you my Son. If you want the eternal life, you can get it through my Son. This is His record. Verse 12.
He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life.
It's very clear. He says, if you have the Son of God, you have eternal life. If you reject the Son of God, you will not have eternal life. Then there are so many other people said, we don't want Son, we don't want Jesus, we want Father. He says, if you don't want Son, you cannot have me. Because once Father sent His Son to die on the cross of Calvary for you and for me, and you deny that Son, you deny the Father's love, how can Father will love you? People don't understand that. Just think that you have only one son and a handsome, beautiful son, maybe 4 or 5 years old, and somebody start kicking him and hitting him and pushing him, and then say, what are you doing? Oh, I love you. I love you, ma'am. I love you, sir. But I don't like this child. Do you love that person? No. You will not love that person, because if he hates your son, that person is your enemy. That's what it is. So when you hate Jesus Christ, then you became the enemy of God. He will not recognize you because He gave His only begotten Son. The Word of God says in the book of Romans, chapter 8, 31 or 32, please read. He says, He gave His own Son for you. So if you need anything, is it hard for God to not to give it to you?
He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?
He gave His only begotten Son. So when you have a need, you need a house, you need a car, you need a job, you need a wife, you need a husband, you need a children, you need a health, everything what you need, is it difficult for God to give it to you? If He gave His only Son to die for you? That's what He's saying. So when God gave His Son to die for you and for me, and we just ignore that and then say, God, I don't want your Son, but I need your blessing. It will not come. That's what the whole world is doing. They don't want Christ. They don't want Bible in their country. They don't want anybody going and preaching about Jesus. And they talk about big, big things about God. And then we tell, oh, those people are God-loving people. Those people are good people. I tell you, they are not good people. If you don't love His Son, you are a bad person. you are not only bad, you're going to go to hell, not knowingly. So now it's our duty to tell others, don't kick Jesus, don't push Jesus around. Jesus is the beloved Son of the Father. And if you kick him around, you will not get a chance to go to heaven. So you love the Son, then you love the Father. And the eternal life is in the Son. Let's go back to St. John chapter 5, verse 13.
These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God.
Now St. John is saying, I am writing these things, or I have written in my books. Why? The name of the Son of God. So he said, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So why I'm writing this? To tell you, if you need an eternal life, that eternal life is in Jesus Christ. You cannot find the life any other way. How Jesus gives life and another person cannot give a life. Do you know? The life is in the blood. And when life is in the blood, Jesus Christ gave his life, his blood. Now somebody says, why cannot some other man's blood cannot save us? Other man's blood is polluted, sinful blood. There is not a person was born into this world never committed sin. They all committed sin. How do you know? Book of Romans chapter 3 verse 23 clearly says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And book of Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says, the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So it's very clear. Everybody who came into this world, they were sinners. And sinner dying for sinner will not save anyone. Just like a beggar helping beggar. Somebody says, give me a dollar. You give me a dollar. Nobody has a dollar. Nobody can help anybody. Or the blind leads blind, the Bible says. So if you are helpless, just like you got a surgery, very dangerous surgery, and you're lying in your bed and you have no strength to pick up a paper or just open your eyes. Could you help me? Give me some water, prepare some food, help me. Is that going to help? No. To help somebody, you have to be strong and healthy. To give somebody money, you have to be rich or have to have money to give it to somebody. Jesus Christ, the Word of God says, he was rich, he became poor. With his poverty, you can be rich. He says, you were suffering, you was with the sin and sickness and disease. He took all your sickness, all your pain, all your sorrow on the cross, and with his stripes, you are free, you are healed, you are made free. So that's the plan of God. Without the blood of Jesus Christ, there is no life. Because without the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness. And that blood has to be pure and holy. And that is only Jesus Christ's blood. Okay, let's go to the same chapter, verse 20. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20.
And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life.
Again he's saying, we got the knowledge about the Father through Jesus Christ. We get all eternal life through Jesus Christ, and it is true. So in short, he's trying to say, why don't you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Why don't you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Because he is the one gives you eternal life. St. John chapter 5, verse 24, it says, if you receive Jesus Christ, if you believe Jesus Christ, you are passed from death unto life. and no condemnation. Please read.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
See how connection Jesus is making? Father sent me. If you love the Father, if you listen to the Father, listen to me. Love me. We are all one. And if you love me, and if you receive me, then you will have eternal life. And you will pass from death unto life, and no condemnation, means no judgment. That's why we telling people, if you are a murderer, if you are a prostitute, if you rob the banks, you kill people, you are worthless, and you thinking, God doesn't love me. Jesus Christ says, O heavy laden, come unto me. I will give you rest. Come as you are, and I will set you free. I will forgive your sins, and I will make you new. And I will not condemn you anymore. That's the only you can find in Christianity. All other religion, you have to do something. Those things in Indian language say karma. Karma means doing something. Without doing anything, you don't get anything. Muslim religion the same way. Jewish religion is the same way. You have to achieve your salvation with doing something. And even though you're doing something, according to the Bible, it says, your righteousness is filthy rag in the sight of God. What does it mean? You cannot do anything good. Why? Because you are bad. Bad person cannot do anything good. Even though he does good, but it doesn't look good. So, the Word of God says, our righteousness comes from Lord Jesus Christ. How it comes? He shed his blood. And he washed us or cleansed us with his blood. And when the Father sees you through the blood of Jesus Christ, he says, you are righteous. You didn't commit any sins. Your sins are forgiven and forgotten. That's why he says, no condemnation. No judgment at all. But the Word of God says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it is appointed man once to die. After that, judgment. That means every man will be judged. Only person will not judge who received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Each and every person who is born into this world, if they don't know Jesus and if they reject Jesus Christ, they will be judged. And some of the people did horrible sins in the dark. And they don't want their mother, father, brother, sister to know their sins. And that's why some people kill themselves. Something will reveal. And they think has gone. No, it's recorded. And somebody says, how can God record everything? Now, if you can record in whole Bible in a small chip and whole world's history in a little bit chip, our God is much bigger and much wiser. So he knows everyone's record is already there. You cannot take it off. Only thing he says, I will take your record off of my book. Once you receive Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ vanishes all your record. There is nothing in the record of the Word of God. That's why he says you pass from death unto life and no condemnation. Book of Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. In Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
When we were in sin, we were in death. But thank God what happened when Jesus Christ came and died on the cross of Calvary. He took your death penalty. He took your sin. And now there is no condemnation, there is no death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So we have to just say yes. When somebody gives you gift, not because you did something good. If somebody gives you gift, that is the gift. But if you did something and somebody gives you award or reward or something, those are two different things. If somebody gives you gift and somebody says, I don't like this. You didn't earn anything to get something. When you got a gift, you should be thankful. Whoever gives to you, you didn't earn that. That's just the gift. You didn't do anything to get the blood of Jesus Christ. He did it freely. So we have to be thankful. Let's go to the St. John chapter 21, verse 24.
This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true.
Now when he said, this is the disciple, who is he? This is called John the disciple. The youngest one was sitting beside Jesus Christ, leaning on his breast, loving Jesus Christ, following the Lord Jesus Christ, taking care of his mother when Jesus died on the cross. This is the disciple, he says, and my testimony is true. He says, I'm not writing anything false. This is my eyewitness. I stayed with Jesus. I touched him. I handled him. I found him is the true God, and I lived with him 3.5 years. I saw the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I saw his death and burial. I saw everything. I saw him going to heaven, and he promised that I'll come back. I was there. I have seen everything. That's why I'm this writing to you. Go to the 1 John chapter 1, and please read from first 5 verses.
That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life.
Now here is saying, that which was from the beginning. Now, do you know when St. John writes this? St. John chapter 1, he says what? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's the same thing as, that's the Word. In the beginning, Jesus Christ was there and said, which we have heard, means we heard the Jesus Christ, we saw him with our own eyes, we looked upon and we handled him. And that's the word of life. That's the word he says, in the beginning was the word. That's the word of life with Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ has a life. And that word we touched, because he said, what is the word? St. John chapter 1, verse 1, please read. And then verse 14, he says, that same word became flesh.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
This is the Word, and this is the witness St. John is saying. We witness about the living Word. Verse 14.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father.
So he said, that's the Word, came into this world, became a flesh, means took the form of man, and he lived with us. He tabernacled with us, or he stayed with us 3.5 years with the Saint John and all other disciples. And he said, we handled him, we talked with him, we saw him doing miracles. And that's the word we are testifying. Go back to this 1 John chapter 1.
For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us.
See, he says, the eternal life, the life we never saw before, that life was revealed to us, that life was with the Father, and the Father gave that life to us through Jesus Christ. And when the Jesus Christ came, now he showed us what the Father is, what the life is all about, and eternal life. So we got everything through Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ is not there, we would not know what the life is. We would not know who Father is. We will not know what the eternal life is all about. So he said, everything we got through Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is the only one revealed us all these things.
That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ.
So he said, why am I saying this? Why I'm writing this? Because we got the fellowship with Father and Son. We got the eternal life. We are enjoying the fellowship with the Father and Son. And we want you to have the same. And it's free. That's what we have to tell other people. Sir, we are not charging anything to believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's free. Why I'm giving? Because I have it. I received it, and I'm giving you. That's what he said. We have the fellowship with the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ, and we are blessed. That's why we are telling. Some other people say, why are you telling me about Jesus Christ? I say, sir, I cannot keep it to myself. I am blessed, and I want you to be blessed. This is not forcing you Christianity, just like my son said earlier. We are not hooking at somebody by blindly and pulling them to Christianity, and when they open their eyes, oh, we don't know. Like other religion, they say, if you don't come to our religion, we'll cut your neck. Oh, okay, we'll follow you. And then they follow, and then children automatically become their followers. Christianity is not like that. Not because your father was Christian and your mother was Christian and automatically you became Christian. No, you might have named John, Peter, and Paul. That doesn't make you Christian. You receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and follow Christ and live for Jesus. That makes you Christian. And that's the difference between other religion and our religion. Our religion is not just following the crowd. You have to have the personal relationship with Christ and with His Father, with the Holy Spirit. That's the real experience in Christ. Okay, verse 4.
And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full.
Why am I writing this book? So your joy might be full. That means he got a joy. Once you have a joy, then you tell somebody. When you get saved, you can testify how you got saved. When you get healed, you can tell somebody who is the healer. What you got, you can pass it on to somebody. But if you don't have, you cannot give it to somebody, as I said earlier. If you don't have money, you cannot give it to somebody. If you don't have joy, you cannot give it to joy to somebody. He says, we got a joy, and we are giving this joyful news to you, so your joy might be full. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you got a joy of salvation. Joy comes from God. Happiness comes from the worldly thing. Happiness is temporary. Joy stays eternal. Once you receive joy, when you receive Christ, as long as Christ in you, you have His joy in fullness. If you deny Christ, you will be miserable, and you might go to hell. Okay, verse 5.
This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all.
This is the message. He says, what the message? God is love, God is light, God is pure, God is holy. That's the message. Go and see other gods. I don't have time to tell you. There are horrible gods in other countries. Looking at them, you get scared. But our God is love. God is light. Our God is pure and holy. Our God is love. So once you receive that same God, you get all the God's characters in you. And He changes you. So once you receive Jesus, you got the mind of Christ. You got the love of Christ, and you became like Christ. Some people say, okay, I'm Christian, but I don't feel anything. Sir, you never dedicated your life to Jesus. If Jesus comes in, the sin goes out. Then you don't need any high to, what do you call, marijuana or drug or smoking or drinking. You don't need those highs. Why? Because Jesus Christ comes in. He gives you full of joy. You don't need anything. I was hooked up to these movies. Without movie, I didn't have any peace. When I received Jesus Christ, that movie gone and the actor's name and everything is gone. Completely vanished from my brain. So point I'm making, I'm not concentrating on those things. So here the word of God says, once you receive this light, you will be not living in darkness. Light comes, darkness goes. If there is a darkest room, pitch dark, you take a small candle, what happens? Darkness goes away. You don't need a big light. Small little light will take the darkness away. So Jesus Christ is called what? The light of the world. Go to the St. John chapter 1 and 4 and 5.
In him was life, and the life was the light of men.
So in him, whom? In Jesus Christ, there was a life. And that life became the light of the man. That means you receive the life of Christ, you're going to shine. The people are going to see good works of God. You cannot say, I'm a Christian and you smoke. You cannot say, I'm Christian and go to bar. That's darkness. The Word of God says those are the works of the flesh and the works of darkness. You cannot produce light with those things. Oh, I'm testifying to people. Though your testimony is not effective because you do the works of the darkness. If you receive the life of Jesus Christ, your life has to shine. People are going to see some goodness of God in you. They are going to say, hey, I saw you 5 years ago. You were a very bad person. You used to do drugs and doing all kinds of things. Today you are changed. What happened? You say, hey, I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. That's what's shining. Okay, read verse 5.
And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not.
See, Jesus Christ is the light. He came into the dark world. Dark world means the kingdom of devil. He came. But that devil had no power to quench the spirit or the light or the life of Christ. Jesus Christ came in this dark, sinful world for what? To destroy the works of the devil. Go to the 1 John chapter 3, verse 8.
He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
See, the devil is allowing you to do sinful work. And you don't understand why I'm doing this. The works of the darkness, those are the devil's work. And the devil wants to kill you, destroy you. According to St. John chapter 10, verse 10, he said, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, I have come to give you life and more abundant life. The devil wants to kill you, destroy you. He is the working in the kingdom of darkness. Jesus Christ came. He was not able to quench his life or take away his life. They thought, oh, we got him on the cross. It's finished. But Jesus Christ rose again. He's a living God. So the Jesus Christ came into this world to destroy the works of the devil. If you are in his side, what are you going to do? Admire the works of the devil or destroy the works of the devil? That's what we're supposed to do. I tell people when they quit smoking, I say, put it under your feet and crush it. And say, devil, you stay under my feet, not on my head, not on my heart. You are my underfeet. That's what the Word of God is saying. We have power to destroy the works of the devil. How do you know? St. John chapter 14, verse 12. Jesus said, I did the signs and wonders and miracles. You can do the same and you can do greater. We have the power. When Jesus Christ was going, he says, all power is given unto me and I give it to you. Heaven and earth is belong to Jesus Christ. And when we are the heirs with Jesus, Jesus is our elder brother. And we are the brothers and sisters of Christ. We have the same power to destroy the works of the devil. St. John chapter 21, verse 25.
And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen.
Now St. John is so excited, he said, you know what? I see so many signs and wonders and miracles Jesus Christ did. And he said, if we write about him, or everybody start writing about what Jesus Christ did in their life, there won't be any library in the world to keep those books. Do you know 2,000 years ago he wrote this? Since 2000 until today, if you ask any believer what Jesus Christ did for you, they can write a book. You ask me, I can write 1,000 books what Jesus Christ did for me. Science and wonders and miracles. I try to do it in brief, some of the in CDs and DVDs. But no one can fully explain what Jesus Christ did when he was on earth and what is he doing in your life. All in the morning when you get up, say, thank you, Jesus, that I am alive. Not because of my power, because of your grace. Our God is doing miracles every second, every day. And if you start writing those goodness of God, we will not have a library to put those books in. Okay. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for giving us grace to concentrate on your words. St. John gave us the experience what he had with you. And I believe each and every believer can have the intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ can be so real to them, real than any false hope. And we can get the full joy of salvation, full joy of Jesus Christ, full power of Christ in our lives. And we will live eternally, pass from death unto life, and no judgment. You are coming very soon. Give us same grace, what St. John had it. And he said, I'm writing this to you so your joy might be full. So we want to go around the world, in our neighborhood, wherever we can, and tell them what Jesus Christ is doing in our lives. So we can win some souls for Christ. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.